Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Water by God Podcast. Okay, Water by God Podcast. That took a quick turn. Guys, I would like to, first of all, my name is Alicia Arnold. Let me go and do this introduction that I'm not consistent with. My name is Alicia Arnold. This is my podcast. Well, this is God's podcast of just being watered by God so that we can grow and that we can water on others, pour out on others what we have received from the Lord. The whole purpose of this podcast is to grow. And if you're not growing, then you're not sowing. Something isn't right. The connection isn't there. And so, yeah. That's what this podcast is for. But I want to apologize. Y'all been on my neck. Y'all been on my head about this podcast, y'all. Let me inform y'all. So, Wednesday, I was not able to... my computer acting funny. I hope that didn't change anything with the audio. Okay. Wednesday, I was not able to record because I had to go to the doctor for my allergies. Which all they told me was, because I wanted to get an allergy test, but nevertheless, they didn't give it to me, and they ended up just saying I probably have seasonal allergies, and I need to take my medicine every day. Every day I cannot miss. I said, for the rest of my life, I'm buying that, because I ain't going to be taking medicine for the rest of my life for these allergies. Because, y'all, it be so bad. Like, I have a cough, and it lingers, like, and it's not a sick cough. Like, people be looking at me like I'm sick. I'm not sick. It's literally, like, an allergy cough. So and sometimes it gets really bad, but anyway, so that's why I couldn't record Wednesday. But my mom came in there this morning and was like, they looking for you, Alicia. Like, I had somebody ask me the other day, do you record on Wednesdays or Fridays, which one? Like, not y'all trying to check me. And y'all, I got people at my job asking me, people calling me asking me when is the next episode. I apologize, y'all. I'm so sorry. It's really not me, because the last few times that I wasn't recording on Friday, it was because my job had placed another schedule. Like next week, y'all, next week, I'm letting y'all know now, next week, I'm supposed to be working 9 to 6, right? So I'm not sure if I'm gonna record at night and release it like in the morning on Wednesday, like record it Tuesday night and release it Wednesday morning, or how. So y'all just bear with me. Hopefully I won't go past Wednesdays anymore, because I want to make sure that I'm still being consistent, that you all are able to get it on the day that y'all were promised. Well, I didn't promise anything. I said, hopefully, if the Lord says the same from the very beginning. But I know things change. Time changes. So hopefully I'll record Tuesday night. I have Bible studies on Tuesdays. So that's the only thing about that. And even if I have to record Monday night, I'm just going to make it work so that y'all get y'all videos on Wednesday. Podcast episodes on Wednesdays. Amen. So. But nevertheless, y'all, we getting it done. Y'all are here. Y'all are watching or you're listening. And I appreciate you. And I thank you for tuning in to God's podcast, because he does not fail, y'all. So let's get into this episode on today, because we got lots and lots and lots to talk about. Today is part two on what we talked about last week, was the greatest command, which is to love. Whether that's to love. Well, the first one is to love God. First and foremost, love him with your whole heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and everything within you, okay? And then this episode is going to be more on how to show that love of God after you've mastered that and you're showing it to his people, because loving his people is loving him. And so if we don't love his people, then we don't love him. We don't even know him at this point. So we're going to get into that on today. And y'all know how we get down with prayer. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for today's episode. Father, I thank you for your children that are listening, that are tuning in, that are watching, that are faithful to you, faithful to your word, faithful to your peace, your grace, everything that you have to give to us on today, Father. So I ask that you allow us all to tune in and just listen to what you have to say, Lord God, because this is your podcast. And so nevertheless, you have your way. You say whatever it is, God, pour however you want to pour. And Father, I pray that you help us to learn that the greatest command is to love you and to love your people, God. And so we can't get beside ourselves and, Lord God, show that we don't love you because of the way that we treat your people, but we want to be perfect. We want to have a sound mind. We don't want to be a crashing cymbal, but we want to make sure, Lord God, that we are just doing what you have called for us to do. So I pray the strength and the authority and the power into your people to love how you have called us to love. And so we thank you. We ask that you move everything out the way, out of the listener's ears, out of their, Lord God, eyesight, whatever distraction is in the way. I ask that you move it. And I ask that the Holy Ghost enter in on this podcast like never before and come in like a mighty rushing wind, that your people may hear. May they have ears to receive and hearts to receive and open arms and open hands and an open mind to hear whatever it is, Lord God. Let them forget everything that they've ever known before that may not be right, but let them hold on to your unchanging hand and what you have to say and what you have to offer on today. Let them forgive themselves of what they did yesterday, but focus on today. And today is a new day, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So I thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We admire you on today. We love on you on today. If we don't love anything else, we want to make sure we love. We start with you. And so we tell you thank you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen. Amen, y'all. So as I mentioned, today is part two. And so I did mention in the last episode that we were going to expound on some scripture that we didn't get to talk about last week. And so we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 21. For those that are watching, how do y'all feel about these glasses? Let's get to it. I like the aesthetic of them. They look really nice. I had to go get my prescription put in them Monday, and then I got them back Wednesday, I think, or maybe Tuesday. But I love them, y'all. I really do. Like, I ordered these on Amazon. It was a 3-pack, and so I really do like them. Tell me what y'all think about them. I'll give y'all the link if y'all want them. Amen. All right. Back to the word. I just had to throw that out there. Now, if you don't like them, that's all right. If you don't like them, that's all right. Amen. I accept it. All right. So, 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. This is the New Century Version. And y'all, I have my notes here, and I'm going to try to read all of them, because I kid you not, when the Holy Ghost was speaking, when I wrote this down, I was like, it's a lot, but all of it is like really important. Like, I kid you not. So I'm going to try to read from that a lot most of the time. But starting with scripture, it says, "Dear friends, we should love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child and knows God." Let's pause right there. So a lot of times, I know it's really popular and really like a thing to put on your bio or whatever, God's child. It lets us know who's God's child is. Everyone who loves has become God's child and knows God. And so I see a lot of times, like, we can just claim something and then we don't realize that what we're claiming, we're not acting as that. So many times we claim to be God's child and we don't have the love to resemble that. But nevertheless, let's continue to read. "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only son into the world so that we could have a life through him. This is what real love is. It is not our love for God. It is not God's love for us. He sent his son to die in our place to take away our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us that much, we should also love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made perfect in us. We know that we live in God and he lives in us because he gave us his spirit." I want to pause right here. It said that no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. That is so important because, yes, obviously, no one has seen God, right? And if you've seen God, God is too great and too powerful. Like, you just probably most likely about to die, because I'm not saying that to be rude or anything, but like his glory is way too like powerful and too mighty. Like when the people in the Bible, when God was speaking, they had to like cover their eyes. Like it wasn't gonna work. Like his glory was just so powerful. But it's the fact that it lets us know nobody has seen him. And so if we haven't seen him, how can we see him? And we can only see him and know him, or feel him at least, by our love that we're giving to other people, or by the love that people are giving to us, because we will know each other by the fruit that we're bearing. But if you're like walking around with a very bad spirit and you're just talking about people and you're just doing things the opposite way of how God intended for us to do them, then they won't know God, because they won't see the love that we're supposed to be resembling in and through us by him. Amen. So I just wanted to point that out. But 13, we know that God lives in us. We know that we live in God and he lives in us because he gave us his spirit. We have seen and can testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God has God living inside, and that person lives in God. And so we know that the love that God has for us, and we trust that love. We trust that love. The love that God has for us, we trust that love. And it also talked about how we are supposed to, you know, love people the way that Christ died on a cross for us. That is like the greatest love, right? That's the greatest love. We know that Jesus died on a cross for our sins. And so we're supposed to love each other like that, not saying like, you know, some people say I'll die behind whoever, okay, right? But what are you dying behind? Like, if anything, we're supposed to love like Christ loved us. And many times we don't. Like, we don't forgive the way Christ forgives us. But we're going to get into all of that. I just wanted to also point that out. I'm pointing a few things out because this is a very long scripture. It's a lot of scriptures. And so I just wanted to point some stuff out as we go that I may not mention as we continue. But it says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God has God living inside, and that person lives in God. And so we know that the love of God has for us, and we trust that love. God is love. Those who live in love, love in God, live in God. Y'all, I'm sorry. It's a whole bunch of live, love, and live, and okay. God lives in them. This is how love is made perfect in us, that we can be without fear on the day God judges us. Because in this world, we are like him. And so many of us may live in fear simply because we know we're not living right. We know we're not living like we're supposed to. I think a lot of times people are afraid to die. And it's like, you're not even supposed to be afraid of death. Why are you afraid of death? And Jesus died for you so that you can have eternal life. But of course, if the enemy will come in and he will steal the thought of eternal life when he knows that you're not living according to how to get to eternal life. And so when you're not living to get to that, then of course the enemy can place fear in your mind and fear in your heart, because you know, if you were to die right now, you may not make it into that eternal life. And so the whole purpose is to live and to love the way we're supposed to, so that we may see that eternal life. So this is how love is made perfect in us, that we can be without fear on the day God judges us, because in this world we are like him. Where God's love is, there is no fear. So that just explains what I was just saying. Where God's love is, there is no fear. You don't have to fear death because Jesus already overcame death, but we still have to fear God. There's the difference. You don't have to fear death, but you have to fear God, because God saved you from death. He's just above and beyond, okay? He's the greatest of all time. Like, he's just the best, right? So we have to fear him, because in that fear, we will live right. In that fear, knowing that God has control over our lives, we will live according to that. We will know that, okay, I don't want to mess up because he has control over my whole life, me breathing right now, the blood rolling in my veins right now, okay? So where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. It is punishment that makes a person fear. So love is not made perfect in the person who fears. Love is not made perfect in the person who fears. Love is not made perfect in the person who fears. When you love God, you are not afraid of death, because you know you are loving his people correctly. So I'm gonna say it one more time. Love is not made perfect in the person who fears. If you fear that an animal can take your life, you just not even living the right way, because at that point you're afraid. Like, at this point, you should love God so much you love everything he placed on this earth. Like, we should have no fear. We're not supposed, God does not give us the spirit of fear. So if the devil is placing all these things in front of us, y'all, I haven't even gotten to my notes yet. I just wanted to expound on these scriptures. But if the devil is posting so much stuff in front of us and we're fearing it, we're fearing the wrong things, because our mind and our life is not being lived the correct way. So now we're allowing the devil to place all these things in front of us to get a sidetrack of the main purpose or the main goal. We love because God first loved us. If people say, I love God, but hate their brothers or sisters, they are liars. And they said it was a disrespect, y'all, to call people a liar, when I was younger, they used to say, don't tell older people they're a liar, right? But now, I work with children. Them children, they tell us straight up, you're lying. You're a liar. But the Bible also is calling you a liar. It says they are liars. If you say you love but hate, we go around saying we love God, but I can't stand her. I can't stand him. Oh, I hate them. Oh, I hate their guts. Oh, I hate this. I hate everything about them. You don't love God. You don't even know the very thing that you just said was the opposite of what you were claiming to be or what you were claiming to have. So we have to be careful in what we're saying because, well, obviously what you're saying is coming from your heart. What you're saying is coming from something that you meant. What you're saying is something that you felt all this time. And so you have to first ask God to clear that out of your heart to continue to love the way that he wants you to love. Amen. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have never seen. How can you say you love God if you cannot see God, but the people that you see through God, you're not loving them? The people that you see on a daily basis, you're not loving them. So how can you love the person that you don't see? It's almost like the Bible is kind of being funny right here. Like, you claim you love something that you don't see, but you don't even love the things that you do see. You're unappreciative of the love that is here on the earth, walking, breathing amongst you, in your face every day. And yet you say you love the God that you don't see. And you trust the God that you don't see. And here we are saying, I don't trust man. If you don't trust man, I mean, and we're not supposed to trust men like that. That's not what I'm saying. But you obviously don't trust God either. Because of the way that you're acting. Like, and it's different if somebody is not showing love, right? The love of God. And so you're like, I don't trust them. That's different. But if they're like trying to show you love, trying to love the bad out of you, and you're like neglecting it, and you're like, no, I don't trust them. I've been hurt. I don't trust them. If somebody's trying to love you, and you're saying completely you don't trust them, you don't trust the God that's in them. If they have God in them, there's a difference. But make sure if they do have God in them, that you're accepting that, because that shows you don't even love the way that God has intended you to love. And so, and God gave us this command. Those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. And that is the end of that scripture. I know it was a lot, but we're going to break a lot of that down. So let's get into our notes. We always tend to look at love as an emotion. We think of it as we either feel it or we don't. Jesus commands us to love. Many times we read over that, not realizing that you cannot command an emotion. Right? And so I think sometimes we think that love has a lot to do with emotion, but you can't command an emotion, right? Like, Jesus wouldn't be saying, I know you may not have love in your heart, but I need you to feel it. I'm forcefully telling you to feel it, right? Because I know sometimes we may be like, well, how am I supposed to love my enemies? How am I supposed to love those that talk about me? Like, that's a scripture all by itself. It says, love those that persecute you, right? But how am I supposed to do it if I don't feel it? Or how am I supposed to do it if I, like, have so much hate for them? And it's letting us know right here that love is not an emotion. Jesus would not be commanding an emotion, right? He's commanding you to show action, so that they may feel through your action. And I think we get that twisted sometimes. We don't understand. Love is not just an emotion. It's a decision. It's not about if you feel it. It's about if you decide to do it. I'm going to say it again. It's not about if you feel it. It's about if you decide to do it. It's not about if you feel like loving that person. It's not about if you feel like loving your enemy. It's not about if you feel like loving your parents that neglect you. It's not about if you feel like loving those that persecute you. It's not about if the slaves back then felt like loving their masters. It's not about if you felt like loving the adults or the people in your church. It's not about if you feel like loving those that broke your heart. It's not about if you feel like doing anything, right? It's about doing it because Jesus tells you to. It's about doing it because you know that you serve a God that's greater than everything that that person has put you through or everything that you have seen with your physical eyes on this earth. Jesus doesn't command us to have a certain way to feel in our heart. No, he's telling us there's certain things that you have to do. And so we're going to get down into that in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. I'm going to go there soon, but I want to expound on this first. He's not telling us, y'all, because there's a certain good feeling. I think we get so caught up in feelings that we forget this has nothing to do with feeling, right? Because in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about nothing about feeling. It talks about commands, and Jesus wouldn't be commanding you to feel a certain way because that's hard, right? We're flesh, we're humans. And so we have feelings, we have emotions, and he knows that we're going to choose to do what we want to do. Everything is a choice. He gives us free will. You have free will. So there would be no way how to command you to love if it was an emotion and you have free will. That contradicts everything that he has previously told us. How can I tell you that you have to feel this certain way, right? Instead of using love, I'm gonna put feel, right? There's no way Jesus is gonna say I need you to feel like doing this when he knows that we have free will. We may not want to. Same way some of us don't feel like praying at certain times or feel like reading our word, but we do it anyway. No, it's not a feeling. It's the fact that you serve a God and you want to worship that God. You want to reverence that God. So you're going to do everything you have to take care of business. It's not about what you feel like doing, but it's the greater power that the Lord gives you, that God gives you, the strength that he gives you, a supernatural strength to look above and beyond your feelings, to say, you know what, I'm not going to focus on how I'm feeling at the moment. I'm not going to focus on how I'm thinking at the moment. I'm not going to focus on what I've gone through at the moment, but I'm going to focus on the greatest command, which was to love my neighbor, to love thy God with all my heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. I'm not going to focus on what I'm seeing with my physical eyes. Period. That is what we have to do. So it's not about if you feel it. It's about if you decide to do it. Eventually, your emotions catch up to your obedience. Then your obedience will show through your actions. Then your actions will expose what's in the heart. Let's get into it. Let's break it down. So eventually your emotions catch up to your obedience, right? And so a lot of times we get caught up in our emotions, and our emotions will show, okay, am I going to be obedient to God, or am I going to be obedient to my feelings? What is your obedience looking like? If you're disobedient, because all disobedience is sin, right? So now you're sinning. But, and don't get me wrong, we all fall short of this. And it's hard sometimes, right? We sin every day unknowingly. But the things that we know that we're doing is disobedient. So we need to see, okay, heart check, what am I doing that is being disobedient to the Lord? What am I doing that it's showing my emotions on the outside? Because if you know that you're supposed to be loving that, if you were supposed to forgive somebody from a long time ago, you're being disobedient. So now your obedience is being shown by your emotions. You feel a certain way about that person, which is causing you to be disobedient and forgiving them. You feel a certain way about your manager, which is causing you to be disobedient and loving them and showing them that, you know what, I have the love of God in me, so I'm going to love the literal hell out of you so that you don't act that way towards me anymore. That's what we have to do. We have to have a love inside of us so much that the people that we encounter that treat us wrong, that is why the Bible says love those that persecute you, bless those, you know, that do all these things to you, because we're supposed to show them, okay, you know, regardless of how you treated me, I'm going to show you what the love of God looks like. And now I'm going to have you questioning. A light bulb is going to go off in your head. Okay, maybe God is real, because how are they able to do that? How are they able to love me when I just spit on them? How are they able to love me when I just shot at them? How are they able to love me when I just said all these things against them? When I just, you know, talked about them on social media? How are they able to do this when I just broke up with them? How are they able to do this when I just divorced them? How are they able to do this when I just cursed them out? That is what we want people to see in us. How? And we don't have to explain it. A lot of times we say things out of our mouth. You don't have to explain anything. If you love somebody, you will show them with your actions. I had somebody tell me one time, we was in church, and he was like, oh, you just a person. You don't say much. You just do it. You just talk. You don't have to say anything. You just show it with your actions. And I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But that comes through, like, discipline. That comes through me trying to discipline myself and how I act. Like, sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna speak from a testimony. But I used to come from a point where, like, I would do all this talking, all this blah blah blah, and it's like rah rah rah. And girl, you're not living that, you're not showing that. Like I would say, and the Bible calls it like a clashing cymbal. We're gonna get to that too. But you're just talking because all of this that you're saying, you're not living that. You're not walking that. You're saying you love people. And how we respond, y'all, how we respond shows the very way that you actually are. Like, if you're responding just like your enemy, then you don't have the love of God. If you're responding on social media the same way your enemy is responding to you, you don't love with the love of God. If you're going to talk to your parents the way, if you claim that your parents are being rude to you, talking to you all type of ways, you're not showing the love of God by talking back to them like that. You're not changing anything. You're not helping anything. You're not solving anything. But you're, you know, sharpening iron by iron, not the right way. You're just sharpening for kill. You're not sharpening to, you know, and it's not to kill. Because I believe, like, sometimes we do things for the wrong reason. We do stuff and say stuff for the wrong reason. So you're not doing it to feel like you're correcting them. You're doing it because you're just angry. You're mad. You're doing out of emotions, and it's showing your disobedience instead. A lot of times we're exposed by the Lord because the Lord is trying to show us you're not where you think that where you're at. You need help in this area, and it's okay, but admit to it and stop covering it up. Stop sweeping it under the rug. If you need help, speak up and say, I need help, Lord. I need your help to help me be obedient in this season, in this area. So then I said, then your obedience will show through your actions. And so we were just talking about that, you know, how you act. People are going to see the way you act. There is a God or there's not a God. They're going to go, that's the decision they're going to make in their head. Okay, the way you're acting lets me know that you're going to church every Sunday, but something's not right, because you would have been fixed. You would have been fixed right by now. I know when I was like a hypocrite, right? My father, he used to use this against me so much. He used to be like, Alicia, like when I used to bump heads with him, he used to be like, Alicia, you say you a child of God. You shouldn't be talking like this. You shouldn't be acting like this. And it's not that I would curse or anything, because I don't cuss, right? I don't do any of that. But it's the fact that I would like have a really, really, really smart mouth. Like, I was gonna get you got without cussing. I didn't have to cuss, but I was gonna get you got. Like, I was never the type to just use all these, like, bad words. And I would never cuss my parents out anyway, right? But it's the fact that I would just, like, speak of anger. And I'm going to tell you about yourself. But it was so wrong. And my dad would look at me like, you know what? I'm doubling back. You say you go to church and everything. You say you a child of God. You say this. And the way that he was seeing me, and I'm going to let you know, the people in your household, they're going to see if you're living that. They're going to be the ones to see it the most. But if you're saying that, even with your family members, you know, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your grandma, your grandpa, whoever, your sister, your brother, your nieces, your nephews, the way that you're claiming on social media or you're claiming in church, when you go behind closed doors and you living, they're going to see if you're telling the truth. They get to see with their own eyes. And you don't want to be a hypocrite to them. And now they're following after you. Or now they're telling you about yourself, saying that you're a hypocrite out of their own mouths. And so sometimes we get offended by that because we feel like, how dare you say that? No, they're telling the truth and you need to listen, because they might just be saying something right. They might just be, a light bulb might just have went off to tell you. The Lord told them to tell you. See, the Lord will use whoever he wants to use. And if he told them to tell you that you got a smart mouth, if he told them to tell you that you got the spirit of fornication and you going around sleeping with all type of people, if they told you you got a potty mouth and you got a cuss word and you need to stop cussing, well, so be it. So do it. Fix it. And don't get upset, y'all, because it's not to harm you, but it's to help you. It's to help you grow. And I think a lot of times we always say, well, you're not this and you're not that. And like when somebody corrects us, we feel like, well, how can you say that? And I just want you to know, but that's a learning lesson for the both of you. So you take what they're saying, right? Because it might just be true, but you also can tell them, but not in a disrespectful, rude way. Like, how can you say that? Because now you haven't even listened to what they said. When they said what they said might have been right. And if you have something to say, maybe you can, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? But the right way. So you could say, they could say one thing about you and you also could say one thing about them. But that's not to harm each other. That's to say, you know what? I thank you for letting me know, telling me that. I thank you for letting me know that. I thank you for showing me what I didn't see in myself. And so I appreciate that. I'm going to take that. And I'm going to tell you, but also you may struggle in this as well. And so I've seen in this in you, and I've seen this in you. Like, getting to know each other and getting to love the way that God has called us to love. But if y'all just going at each other necks and throats, that's not helping anyone or anything. And people are watching you. People are seeing that you're not being a split image of the Lord, but you're being a split image of your flesh. You're actually being an image of the devil. Y'all, something was so good to me. I was reading about Genesis, and it was just so good. The Lord had laid it on me about the image, when it talked about that God made us in his image, right? And he told us that, you know, he told me that when he made us in his image, it was in his image that we had power and authority, not in the devil's image or our own image, right? And so when Eve bit that apple, right, the image instantly changed. It shifted because she had now knew what sin was. Like, she had now was able to see in a different realm that she wasn't able to see anymore. Like, she opened up something that, you know, wasn't supposed to be open. And so now the devil was able to see her as, you know, okay, I can use you more often. I was able to convince you to do something you wasn't supposed to do. And so we can intimidate the devil looking like him. And when Eve bit that apple, her image changed. We wasn't supposed to be born into iniquity. We were supposed to be born into perfection. But when Eve bit that apple, now, obviously, right, naturally, we're born into sin, generationally, right? I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm going to say it, right? And so her image had changed. And so when you walk in sin, your image changed. You no longer look like the image that God has called you to live in, but now you look like the image of the devil. And you can, a snake can intimidate, a snake cannot intimidate another snake. It won't work. It just won't. You ain't scaring no devil. You ain't scaring no demon. The devil is not, you know, offended by you. He's not intimidated by you. He like, you look just like me. How can you scare me? Why? Because a snake cannot harm another snake. Y'all are the same at this point. The Bible talks about you're either from the Father, you're either from the Lord, from God, or you're from the devil. So which one? If you're calling yourself a child of God, act as that. But if you're not, if you're claiming that but you're not showing that, then you be a child of the devil. That's scripture, y'all. That's scripture. And so what does your image look like based off the way you love? What does your love looks like? And based off the way you love, what does your image look like? What were you born under? What were you born to? What are you walking like, talking like, living like, dressing like, wearing your hair like? I mean, everything, like, everything matters, from the way that I'm wearing these glasses to the way that I put on my shoes. Everything matters. Everything. So we want to live and walk and talk to the way you eat. Eat with purpose. Walk with purpose. Don't walk with a twist to now you got everybody staring at you. You know, you want to love. And so we sometimes get angry at the things that we're attracting, but we got to look how are we attracting it. And love goes many ways. Love in relationships, love in friendships, right? But in relationships, I'm talking about relationships. If you're getting mad at everything that you're going up against in relationships, what are you attracting? How are you dressing? You're turning your head. You're making others turn their head. What are you wearing that's attracting them? And some people, you know, they just gonna look good either way. But it's like, I know, like me myself, regardless of what I put on, you know, it may attract people. But even as women, I'm speaking to women. Even as women, you have to still be careful what you're wearing, because you don't want to get so caught up in what you're wearing that you forget, this is why I'm attracting these type of men. This is why I'm attracting these type of people, because what I got on. But nevertheless, that's another conversation for another day. Let's continue. Then your actions will expose what's in your heart. Everything that you're doing, it will expose what was in you all along. Everything that you're saying, it will expose what's in you all along. Every time you're disobedient and you're not walking in obedience, it will expose what's in you all along. A lot of times we try to jump straight from emotions to the heart, but emotions are not valid for characteristics. So what does that mean? That means every reason or everything that we say that we are, emotions are not a reason to say that you're that, like, if that makes sense. We try to jump straight from, oh, I'm angry, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I feel some type of way. And then, for example, that's what we see another person as. Because we have something in our mind about them, that's how we view them as. But it's just based off your emotions, right? That's not what it is. like offense. You may take offense to something and that's not what it was, right? But because you're emotional and you all in your feelings, you think that's what it was supposed to be. No, that's not what it was. But now you're in your emotions, so now you're being disobedient. So now you're exposing what's in your heart. So now you're not gonna love the right way. See how that just worked? All because of your emotions. All because you think something is what it's not. And so we don't want to get confused by those type of things. Let's continue. You can't make decisions based off emotion, which is why love is not based off feeling. It's based off action. You can't base your decisions based off... You cannot act off emotions. It's just that simple. You can't act off emotions, how you're feeling, because how you're feeling will... I think I said this before. You can't say... They say, you know, make your decisions, what you want to be. You know, follow your heart. When you going through a relationship, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart, what's in your heart, sometimes it is not good to follow that because it is very bad, baby. Your heart will have you killing somebody. Your heart will have you going to sleep with another person. Your heart will have you cheating on somebody. Your heart will have you cussing everybody out because you just felt like it. Your heart will have you just doing things that you have no business doing. Living in sin, talking in sin, walking in sin, all because you followed what was in your heart. Your heart will have you being a stripper. Your heart will have you working in places you weren't supposed to be working in. Your heart will have you, you know, just prioritizing things that God has not called us to prioritize, but all because you followed your heart. You followed what was in your emotions. You missed your kingdom spouse all because you wanted to follow what people was telling you. Follow your heart, which was in your heart at the moment. And so when God heals you, now you see, you realize you missed out on your kingdom spouse, or you realize you missed out on that job or that entrepreneurship or whatever the Lord was calling you to, all because you let a couple of words, what somebody was saying, block you from your blessing. You let their discouragement lead you into being disobedient to what the Lord has called you to do. The Lord may be calling one of you to be a minister, to be a preacher, to be a speaker, to start that lesson, or to start teaching, or to start whatever it is. Start a podcast. Start that business. And all because you heard a little birdie speaking in your ear, now you're disobedient. Their love, what they were showing you, wasn't the love of God. And so now you're not going to show in the love of God because what their love looked like. And so that's really what this generation goes through. They go through. We live in such a generation that I'm going to pay a wrong for wrong. No, now we're all living the way that God has called us not to. We're living the complete opposite. We don't match energy, baby. If you're living the things of God, we don't match energy. There's a scripture specifically telling us not to match energy. It's not worth matching energy. But we live in a generation that matches energy. Energy, and it's so dangerous because how can you match energy? You're not going to get any blessing or anything that the Lord is trying to give you trying to match energy. Actually, it's so dangerous because you can get killed trying to match energy. Just because they were shooting at you, now you're going to shoot back? What? Just because they was angry with you, now you're going to be angry back? We want to be unbothered. Jesus was unbothered. We want to be unbothered in 2025 and forevermore. I'm not going to let, you know, I want to be so full of the oil of the Lord. I want him to anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet so that everything just slide off naturally and spiritually. Slide off. Baby, you can't touch me. That anger you got, it's not going to come over here. It's going to slide right on off. That's the love that we ought to have inside of us. And that's how much we ought to be anointed by the Lord. Amen. So all of this works with God the same way. You can't just say you love God and show actions after. First comes the actions, and then and only then will real love be felt. And so a lot of times we say we love God. We talked about this last week. We say we love God, but we don't because of our actions. You can't love God and be still sinning. And yes, you may sin. We sin unknowingly, but the stuff that you know that you're doing that is wrong, that's not loving God. Because in a relationship, if somebody tell you you're doing something that's bothering them, the whole purpose is to fix it so that the relationship can last, so that the love can be felt, right? But if you're still doing that, still doing those things, and you're still sinning the way God called you not to, you don't love him, because love is what love does. Love is what love does, not what love is felt. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. So if you're going to shift, you have to shift immediately. Like, you have to make change. There's not, I have chance for tomorrow or next week or the Lord knows me. No, because yes, he knows you. And he knows that you might just not change. He knows that, right? And tomorrow's not promised. So how dare you say I have time? No, we don't have time. We don't have time to get it right, y'all. The only time that we have is the very second that we're living. And so we can't even live from yesterday. We have to just move on. There's no reason to say I drank yesterday and I'm going to keep drinking. No, just because you sinned yesterday, that's okay. You have a time and a place to change today. What you did yesterday doesn't define what you are today. Why? Because Jesus died for yesterday and today and tomorrow and forevermore. But you can't let because what you did yesterday or just because you went to the club last night don't mean you can't get up and go to church on Sunday. No, ma'am. You actually should be running to the altar, running inside the church service, trying to get it right. But that don't mean you slide back to that club after you leave. You slide back to that drink after you leave. No, that's not what that means. That means, you know, I'm going to strive for perfection. And suffering, what suffering looks like, I'm going to tell y'all what suffering looks like. Suffering looks like going through withdrawal, okay? Because the Bible says that if Jesus suffered, we also would have to suffer. So I know some people are like, well, how do I do that? Sometimes suffering looks like a yell and a scream because, yeah, your flesh may want it so bad. But if you love God, you got to love God and love God only and not what your sin is. You can't love your sin more than you love God. And what is loving your sin looks like? You still continuously doing your sin. That's what the love of your sin looks like. That's what the love of the world looks like. You still doing it. You still doing whatever the Lord told you not to. If we love God, we have to change, do something about it. And yes, I'm going to say this because I know some of us are still like baby Christians or trying to get it right. And I'm going to say this. You may not change overnight. You may not get it right immediately, but at least strive for perfection. At least strive to change at least a little bit each day. Each day, change something. But if you're just, you know, still doing the same thing over and over again, nothing is changing. I mean, it hasn't gotten better. You're not growing at all. You're just stagnant. You're just staying the same. Matter of fact, you might be going down, going backwards. We don't want to go the other way. We want to go the way that God has called for us to go. So the love of God first comes with actions, and then will the love be felt. So what does that mean? After we show it is when people will feel it. It's not after we feel it, then we're able to show it. No, this is not. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait. And I know this girl said this about me, but until I feel it, I just feel like God is not calling me to apologize. I just feel like God is not calling me to be around her. No, it's not about when you feel anything. It's the fact that, okay, you know what? I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you even in spite of what you said, even in spite of what you did. I'm going to love you so that I may feel it and you may feel the love of God. See, a two in one. Just that fast. Because what I did, it helped me to feel the love of God. Because God, I'm really mastering this thing. And not only did I feel it, but you felt it in the way that I didn't respond the way you responded to me. So now the love was shown for the both of us. We're not paying wrong for wrong. And so that's what actions before feelings looks like. Action. Acting out on love. And not loving based on actions. Amen. Our actions will show how we love God's people. Love is what love does. You cannot love God and sin against him knowingly. You cannot love God and not love his people. One of my notes I have, you show acts of love, not love an act of show. Y'all write this down. When the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, it was so good. We are, I'm going to say it three times, just for it to get in somebody's spirit, for the light bulb to click, for you to understand, okay? We are supposed to show acts of love, not love an act of show. Y'all see what happened? See how that twisted? Say it one more time. You are supposed to show acts of love. Let's break that down. I'm going to do this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to show it first. I'm going to show it. I'm not waiting on no feeling. I'm not waiting for you to say something back to me. I'm going to show it. I'm going to be the leader and not the follower. I'm going to be the lender and not the borrower. Okay? I'm going to show it. I'm going to be above and not beneath. I'm going to show it. You are supposed to show acts of love, not love an act of show. What does that mean? I'm not basing my kingdom relationship based off what you got to show me. I'm not basing my kingdom friendships based off what you got to show me. I'm not basing my love off of an act of show based off. I'm not loving my kingdom spouse based off them giving me flowers, based off how often they take me out, based off if they're giving me words of encouragement, based off if they're buying me food, if they're paying my bills. I'm not loving them because they're doing that. I'm not sitting back saying, "Who he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and when he find me, he supposed to have this, and he supposed to do that." I'm not loving an act of show saying my husband gonna be 6 foot tall, dark skin, brown skin, Latino, whatever you want to call it. That is an act of show, okay? That is what this generation goes through. I'm not looking off of every TV show and every movie saying, you know what, this is what love is. No, because that is not love. That right there shouldn't be your example of love. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is, and that's why we're going to get into it. But we get so caught up in, if he not doing this, he don't love me. And some of us, we're claiming kingdom relationships. We're saying, I want a love from God, and I want God to send me a husband, and I want God to send me a friend, and this, that, and the third. And we think that he has sent it, but then we get caught up in delusion, and we get caught up in being deceived by our emotions that we later then realized it was not sent by God to begin with. Because love is what love does, not what love feels. Because love was never based off emotion anyway. I don't know who needed to hear that. Love is what love does, not what love feels, because love was not a feeling to begin with. Love is not what you feel in your heart. And maybe it is, right? Let me make that clear. You will feel it in your heart after it is shown. After it is shown. And so that's why a lot of times people are like, I can't love my enemies. No, your enemies will feel the love of God based off how you treat them. And then they're going to treat you that same love back, or they should. And if they don't, then your job is done. You did what you were supposed to do. And your blessings come from not your enemy. Your admiration comes not from your enemy, but from the Lord. He's admired. He's happy. He's proud. He's looking down, smiling on you. But everything else that you're doing that's not like him, we got to get away from that, y'all. We got to run from it. Run from it. Learn the difference between people pleasing and love. Love with the intentions of Christ. That's love. When you love how you want to love, you'll come under subjection of how they I love. I'm going to say it again. When you love how you want to love, when you love how you want to be loved back, you'll come under subjection of how they I love. So you won't even worry about how they love. When you love them how you want to be loved, they'll love you back. And if they don't, as I said, your love comes from the Lord anyway. Your love comes from the Lord anyway. You got your receiving. You received that love back from him. Not from them, but from him. And if they do love you the way that you love them, the way that the Lord loved you, then that shows that you know them, that scripture, you know them by the fruits that they bear. So you know that they're also a child of God, and they're loving the way that the Lord has also called for them to love. This is how you confuse friends. Love is not mean. It does not gossip. It holds no wrongs. It is patient and kind. It's not jealous, nor brag, nor proud. It rejoices over truth. And so we want friends that are walking. We want relationships that are walking in this. Friends that are walking in this. Those characteristics. That is what love is. And so we're going to get into, how do you know if you are loving correctly? If you are showing love? Here are questions to ask yourself. These are according to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Y'all, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Just so y'all can have the scripture and go based off of that. Amen. It says, I may speak in different languages of people or even angels, but if I do not have love, I am a noisy bell or a crashing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all the secret things of God and have knowledge. And I may have faith so great I can move mountains. But even with all these things, if I do not have love, then I am nothing. Okay, if I do not have love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have, and I may even give my body as an offering to be burned. But I gain nothing if I do not have love. Why? Because you have done all of that in vain. That scripture, y'all. If you have not done it
With love, you have done it in vain. So you can have the gift of prophecy. You can have the gift of teaching. You can have the gift of knowledge. You can have the gift of, you know, being able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's why the Bible says people will do that in the last days. And he's still going to say, I never knew you, because you never carried that love of him. You did it with the wrong intentions, with the love of yourself. It says in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. So they're laying hands with the fact that they know they're going to get a blessing in return. They're laying hands, or they're preaching, they're telling the gospel, because they're going to get a paycheck from Instagram, a paycheck from YouTube, a paycheck from the podcast, a paycheck from wherever they're getting a paycheck from, or they're going to get attention. They're going to get the fame. They're going to get the followers. They're going to get the fortune. They're going to be admired by man, not by God. And so that is how you can have everything but not have love and still go to hell, because you were not living with the intentions that I need to show the love of God, not the love of myself. Because some of us don't even love ourselves, and you're feeding, you're showing that to other people. Now, verse 4, this is what we're getting into for the notes. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish and does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Love takes no pleasure in evil but rejoices over the truth. Love patiently accepts all things. It always trusts, always hopes, and always endures. Love never ends. There are gifts of prophecy, but they will be ended. There are gifts of speaking in different languages, but those gifts will stop. There is the gift of knowledge, but it will come to an end. Baby, it said even those that can speak in a different language, even those that speak in tongues, you claim you got the Holy Ghost, but you still don't know how to love. All those things will end. All those things will eventually end. But if you don't have love in the beginning, it said you are a crashing cymbal. A crashing cymbal, a noisy bell. You doing all that talking. This is why marriages don't last. This is why relationships don't last. Because you was doing all that talking and your actions was not showing it. This is why friendships do not last. Because it says it rejoices over the truth. And when your friend tried to tell you the truth, you weren't able to accept it. So now the friendship has ended. When the relationship tried to tell you the truth, you were not able to accept it. When the preacher or the pastor was speaking on Sunday, you were not able to accept it. Because you have feelings and emotions in your heart. But love rejoices over the truth. When the Lord sends somebody to correct you, We rejoice over correction, because we know that it is the Lord correcting us, that he wants to see us in heaven. He wants to see us live eternity with him. But when you're full of the devil, you will not rejoice over the truth. You're going to cause destruction and division and all these different demonic activities because you're angry that somebody is trying to help you. But we want to make sure that we're walking in spirit and in truth, and we're walking in the love of God. Never be so boastful that you forget to show the love of God. Never get so caught up in thinking that you're saved, set free, and delivered that now you're not showing the love of God anymore. Because when people see you, all they see is that you're trying to correct them. You're trying to show them that you're better than thou, that you got all this stuff mastered. You did all of these things. So let's get into the notes. Here's some ways to check your heart. Are you being patient and kind? Are you being patient and kind? That goes for your enemies and your friends. Are you being patient and kind? Are you being jealous? Are you trying to get everything that your friend got? That's envious at this point. Are you trying to get everything that you see on TikTok? Are you getting mad because the relationship that you're in, they're not buying you all the fancy things that you want? Now you're jealous because they may be buying it for somebody else, or they may be giving it to their family members, not for somebody else in the relationship. Not like that, but I'm saying you mad they're spending their money on things that they want. And now you're causing the relationship to end because you're being jealous. You have a spirit of jealousy, or parents buying other children different things, or a specific child in the family, or specific people. Like, jealousy will end a lot, y'all. So are you being jealous? Are you being rude or selfish? All you caring about is yourself. You don't care about what nobody else got to say, what nobody else want. You just caring about yourself. Are you getting upset with others? Are you easily angered? Is every little thing just aggravating you? I mean, from the beginning to the end of your day, you just upset. You trying to figure out why. Maybe because you're not showing, you're not receiving the love of God. You got to first receive that love to give that love. Receive the love that he has given you. And that love was to the dying on the cross. That was love. And so we have to die on our flesh, die from our flesh daily to show that love. It's not about what we want. We can't be selfish. We can't get mad at other people because they may be mad at us. Yes, they may be mad. They was mad at Jesus, but he still loved them anyhow. Are you counting or holding wrongdoings or even remembering them, y'all? Even a remembrance, y'all. Jesus, the Lord does not just keep remembering things that we did. His memory was already wiped away. And it's not on accident. It's on purpose. Like, he forgives us. When he forgives, he erases it all. He like, okay, it's a new day. I forgive you, my daughter. I forgive you, my son. But are you showing that same mercy and grace to other people? Are you forgiving those that as the Lord has forgiven you? Are you still saying, you know what, I remember in February, I remember in December, I remember 2 years ago. You know what, I can never be friends with them because 5 years ago, or in high school, or in college, or we were younger. Grow up from that mentality. My parents, they did this to me when I was younger. Grow up. They did this to me yesterday. Or whatever the case, whatever that looks like for you, grow up from that mentality and say, you know what, I'm still going to love you anyhow because I'm a child of God. And if I'm going to say it, I'm going to claim that I'm a child of God, I'm going to act as such. Do you get upset when you're told about the truth? Being told truthful things. You know, the Bible calls us to live off of solids. And yes, as baby Christians, we eat off of the milk. We drink from the milk. But at some point, that truth is that solid. You got to take that truth and you got to live with it. Okay, this is how I'm acting. If I'm a narcissist, I'm just going to have to fix the narcissism, okay? If I'm a liar, I got to fix it. If I'm a thief, I got to stop stealing. If I like to shoot and I like to bang bang and I like to do all these, I got to take the truth and I got to accept it. If I like to fornicate, I got to take the truth and I got to accept it and I got to do something about it and I got to change it. But if somebody tell you and you can't accept the truth, that's a fault all by itself. Because the children of God, they're going to accept the truth because they know, excuse me, it's the Lord trying to correct them. It's the Lord trying to help you, trying to save you from destruction, trying to save you from going to hell. Love always hopes, trusts, and endures. Loving does not mean you won't mess up. That's respect. Don't confuse the two. So don't confuse love and respect. A lot of times people say, well, if you love me, you won't do this. No, we're human, so we're going to mess up. You have to forgive people when they mess up. Now, what is disrespectful is when they keep doing it. That's called disrespect. When they keep doing what you have forgiven them for the first time, that's disrespectful. But even after that, you still have to forgive them for the disrespect because the Lord forgives you when you kept doing it, when you kept doing it. But you got to pray for them. If you really love that person, you have to pray for them. If you really love them as a friend, pray for them that they change. And when they change, you can say you stood during the hard times and you stood there beside them and you prayed until heaven moved on your behalf. That is the life you want to live, not the life that you gave up and you gave up on that person and you wasn't showing the love and you wasn't showing the mercy. You just said, you know what? You can have that. Even as children of God, sometimes we forget we were once in that position and we look at other people like, you know what? I'm not finna help you. I'm done praying for you. I'm done talking to you. I'm done picking up the phone for you. No, you got to show that love and mercy that the Lord showed you. Don't ever move so quickly that you forget to show that same love and mercy. Because at one point it was you. You were them. Don't ever forget where you came from. Always remember your roots because your roots was from the Lord. Don't know who need to hear that. Always remember your roots. Your roots in this spiritual life was when you got dipped down and came back to life. When you was risen from the dead. Okay, I can't wait for Easter because, baby, it's a lot of stuff that I'm praying that the Lord brings from the pulls from the dead that has died in my spirit, man, that needed to be brought back up again. And we all will be rejoicing about things that the Lord has done for us. So, we almost done, y'all. Don't confuse love and respect. Amen. There's a lot of people false claiming because they're not showing their crashing symbols. They're not showing the love of God. So, at this point, it's just, you know, talk, right? And so, this is what we see in movies. This is what we see in videos. A lot of people say they love kids, children, but lack these things. Even anger at children exposes lack of self-control and patience, even as adults. Sometimes we can get so angry at children. If you work for children, if you work in an educational system and you get so angry at them children, it shows that you actually lack self-control and patience. So now you claiming you love kids and you done put yourself in an atmosphere full of kids and you getting mad at them for something you put yourself in that you thought the Lord was calling you to. Maybe the Lord is trying to help you grow up. He's trying to help you be this person that you want to be or that you claiming to be at least. He wants to help you grow from that. Love is always confused with feeling and affection. It's possible, y'all hear me now. This is why it's possible to have sex with someone and not love them. Woo! My God. This is why it's possible, because it is easy to confuse feelings and affection. That's called lust. That's called lust. I'm gonna say it again. That's called lust. This proves that love is action and not emotions, feelings, or affection. This is why friendships and relationships fail, because we use the love word out of proportion. If it fails, it was never love. It was an emotion of affection. It was feelings. Friends can be nice and still not carry the extra characteristics of love. This is why a lot of people say being nice is enough. No, because you can be nice and still not love the way that God has called you to love. You could just be nice just because. But if you're not, if you're still holding on to wrongdoings, if you're easily angered, and you're not doing these things that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, then you can be nice all you want to, but you're not showing the love that the Lord has commanded us to walk in. And so this is why friendships and relationships fail, because the love, that word, that I love you, has been used out of proportion so many different times, and we're not meaning that. We're not saying that with our whole heart. We're not saying that with our whole body, mind, and strength that we're supposed to from the Lord. We're using it out of proportion all type of ways. Men can show affection and never do right by you because they lack the characteristics of love. For any women that are out there saying, you know what, I've been in this relationship, but why are they not doing this? Why are they not doing that? First of all, I want to tell you that you're looking for the wrong things anyway. You're looking for the wrong types of love anyway. They're supposed to be doing this, what the scripture says, not what you got in your mind about the fairy tale or the delusion or what you've seen on social media. And y'all want to do TikToks and everything else. Y'all had to grow up from that mentality. I really did. I promise you I did. The Lord humbled me very quickly, very quickly. And so I'm letting you know, it's because you have the mentality that you're not supposed to have about what love is. And so men can show affection and not show love. It's very possible. Affection and love are two different things. Affection and the spirit of lust is the act, you know, that act of show I was talking about. I can kiss on you. I can hug on you. I can love on you the wrong way. You know, I can make you feel good with your emotions. But your spirit, man, will never be pleased. Why? Because you know you're not supposed to be in that position. You know that's not what love is. Why? Because the Bible tells you what love is. And if you want to correct anybody how they're not loving you correctly, you need to bring up that scripture, not what you feel in your emotions. If you feel like your parents aren't loving you, you need to bring up the scripture, not how you're speaking from anger about how you feel about what they did to you a long time ago. No, speak from scripture, y'all. If you're going to correct anybody, always speak from scripture. What you know the Bible says, what you know the Lord says, not about how you feel, because how you feel would hurt somebody else. And now you're taking that hurt and you're hurting everybody else around you. Now you're saying love is not real. Now you're saying all these different people are wrong, and you're just mad at the world, mad at everybody, and la-di-da-di, right? No, that's not what God has called you, but he's called you to live above and beyond what the world says is love, because it's not that. We get so caught up in things that we see on the media, and God has called us to live above that. It doesn't say you won't mess up in love. It says that you do have to be patient with mess-ups. This is how you love your enemies. You love them from a distance. That's what they say. But you can love them close anyhow. You can still show that love, because Jesus did not run away from his enemies. He did not run from them. He didn't block them. He stood in front of them and he loved them. And he told them, you know, everything he needed to say in love. It's not about how people make you feel good enough to love them, but it's about how you can love them to make them feel good with the love of God. And so if you don't have love, you have nothing. That's what the scripture says, because love is the foundation of everything else for character development. Regardless of the gifts and regardless of what you have to have love for everything that you need, y'all. Everything that you need. And so I finished just in time, y'all, because my camera about to die. But I thank the Lord that I was able to get this all out. Let's just walk in love, y'all. Let's walk in peace and in power and everything that we need to walk in. And so I thank you all for tuning in on today. I pray that you all walk in the love that you have. It's not going to be easy, but I'm here for you all. I'll be praying for you all. I love you all. You all stay tuned in for the next episode, and you all be blessed, not stressed. Amen. And Father, I just thank you for all your children. I pray you build us all up with the strength that we need Lord God, to love your people correctly. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And I love you all. Amen. Stay blessed. And I hope to see you all next time. Love you. Mwah.